Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to How Our Podcast. We are ready for part two, or if you're listening on the podcast, part four of the Cracked and Crooked Manse. I am Joe, your keeper for tonight. And with me are four investigators who are going to attempt to survive the next few hours. Start with Owen. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your character?
So I'm Tobias Higginbottom, a professor of mythology in the Miskatonic University. I was up in the area. We're currently... Is it Fairfax? No, we're not in Fairfax. Where are we?
You're halfway between Albany and Boston, north of New York.
Okay, so in the middle of Beckhart's Nowhere, researching a story and the legend of a mystery goat man when I bumped into the other investigators.
We also have Dave. Dave, do you want to tell us a bit about your character and who you are as well?
I'm Dave Hunter. I'm Finn Anders, cop in Boston, from New York originally. Bit of a joik. That's
brilliant. And for those of you who've listened to our backlog, Dave is the person that also played Bartholomew Ormon, so well done.
Wow.
And our mystery Russian.
And despite all rumors to contrary, I am also Grigor. There is no Russian new guy. It's me.
I felt quite good about the different voices that I brought to the podcast, and then Dave came along and...
The different voices of all Lucas Mack. There are sometimes D&D with me and...
I was kept waiting for the moment where I say, do you need 88 pieces of pie?
And also, we have Call of Cthulhu veteran Aaron, who's coming back with his longtime character, Spencer Rando. How are you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm very good, Joe. Yourself?
Woo! We love you, Spencer.
Yeah, I'm doing alright. I'm a bit worried about how you're going to make it through tonight's deadly investigation, but good luck with that.
Don't worry. I have a cunning plan. Anything I come across, I'm just going to run away from.
It's probably a good idea. Last and no means least, we have Curran, who's not part of our D&D's campaign, unfortunately, but he is back to join us for Call of Cthulhu. So how are you doing, Curran, and who are you playing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm playing a character called Sylvester, rich German, very privileged. Yeah, von Hindenburg. That is not an accident, okay?
No, I hear it's going to, you know, really take off.
Yeah. Well,
so, when last we played, which was last week for us guys, you just, if I remember rightly, bullied a farmer about the loss of his poor dead horse and got back in your car heading to the Fitzgerald mansion. As your car crests the last rise, you see the estate stretch out before you. It's large, I'd say at least 20 acres. It's in a peaceful... yet isolated area of the countryside, probably about 10 miles from town. The estate is surrounded by a tangled, overgrown garden of oversized plants and trees. Even from here, you think you might be able to see species that are not usually found in this part of the world. In fact, the garden is so overgrown that the view from the view of the house in the distance is almost completely obscured by foliage. The property and garden is then bordered by a high stone spiked wall, and you can see a tall iron gate in the distance at the bottom of the hill.
Alright, Spencer, just before we go into this place, just let's have a little bit of a chin wag about what we're doing here, because God blame me, got to this crazy town, we talked to the people and nobody's missing in rumors in 30 years and all this shit, everyone gets the dates wrong. Come on, you got the brain, you got the notes. Pass them here, pass me your notes.
Seems like these guys out here perhaps need to get back to civilization. They all seem kooky as hell. Okay, so what do we know? Well, the guy who owns this place, Arthur Cornthwaite, he's a bit of a traveller, or so the word is on the street. Kid just recently came back from South America, as far as I know. Seems to not be short of a few bucks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, we know this guy had some staff. Possibly other
staff.
Yeah,
he fired him, didn't he?
I don't know the exact details, but he had some, but I don't think he has them anymore. Because, you know,
right.
They're all... None of them are here, and they're all missing, so... What do I know? Let's see. So, I guess he returned alone a few weeks back, I think. He seemed different, apparently. Maybe changed in some way.
Hey, maybe he met a senorita down in the south, know what I mean?
Probably came back with something funky.
Oh, I've been there. Touch of the clap. Yeah. They got pills for that now.
Yeah, I didn't wish to know that, Anders.
There was the people, the murders as well. They're talking about this curse in the area. And the Fitzgerald mansion, this place he owns. Why? I've got into the wrong accent as well. The 30 years ago, a family was killed. The fathers came home and killed them all. And 30 years before that, during the war, a soldier returned home and just shot everyone with his musket. This house seems to have a curse associated with it.
I believe...
What curse? Listen to this guy. He's into the gold man. Curse.
He was the local sheriff. No.
Well, he was a bit of a dick. I mean, thin blue line and everything. He was a bit of a dick.
So what, we've got some sort of crazed murderer out here just sitting by his clock waiting for every 30 years to come around to go kill someone?
Maybe it's like a father-son thing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hey, out here, people get into some strange stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, not like that good filth we get in town, you know. Weird shit. I mean, the horse is missing. I mean, come on!
We found something quite unusual when we went to the deputy's desk at the, the place where the policemen are, yes? And...
Station.
The station.
Actually, he's a sheriff.
Apparently, he found the grisly remains, yes?
Yeah, he found the grisly remains, and they never found Kerwin. He went missing just like Cornwaite's gone missing.
I gotta admit, that's a bit strange. I mean, every family that lives here disappearing every 30 years. That's a bit freaky. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's one of these, you know... Like cults, like the Mormons or something.
At that moment, the car pulls up at the driveway in front of the... Sort of the road ends at this, the high stone wall with the spikes on top. There's a gate blocking your way and your car crunches to a halt outside it.
Charming place.
Yeah, it's a real fixer-upper.
Getting out of the car, you see quite clearly there is a large, heavy... iron lock in the gate.
Well, this looks like a job for my crowbar.
Well, as a officer of the law, you understand I can't permit any breaking and entering, but should the law come after the door while I go and inspect this shrubbery? Hey, fortuitous things occasionally do happen.
As they're trying to break the lock, can I see if I can fit between the bars? This is a slender...
Do what, sorry? No, the bars are very, 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 very close together, probably about an inch and a half. And very weirdly, the chain is... It goes around the two gates, but the lock is on the inside, not on the outside. It gives you the impression that they were trying to keep people out rather than... No, that doesn't work, does it? So... But it's like he's locked himself in rather than locked himself out.
Okay.
So I kind of slip the crowbar between the chains and brute force it open.
Can you give me a strength roll?
I should have expected that, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah, especially since you can pick locks, dumbass.
Well, I rolled a hard success. 20 out.
I'm going to say that's enough. I'm going to say that you managed to... it takes a while, maybe not the first time or even the second, but you do manage to wedge the crowbar in between the gate and the chain itself and managed to lever it open.
Walking back up towards the gate, I go, "Ah, how fortuitous. It seems like the chain has rusted and fallen off. Shall we continue, gentlemen?"
You guys aren't normal cops, are you?
Well, there's a little bit of magic in this world. Who knows? Perhaps some of it happened today.
He's a witch!
And I sling the padlock to one side and open the gates.
It'd be so much better if you actually had a Cthulhu spell.
I was going to say, you got to keep that magic wand on your Gandalf. Or you got to put the crowbar back in
just
the car.
So can I just ask where everyone is in the car? Who's in the front? Who's in the back?
Well, I'm
sitting in the passenger
seat. Are we getting back into the car to drive up then, are we?
Yeah.
Okay. I would be in the back, I assume, with...
It's a huge estate. I mean, I'd say about 20 acres, probably with the house somewhere nestled amongst the foliage in the centre.
Okay, yeah, we're definitely in the car then.
Okay.
Yeah.
My character is, like, leaning just out, like, one arm out the window, and I'm looking at the place as we're driving up to it. And I'm like, I do believe this would be quite a nice property to procure.
Well...
I wish I could acquire this.
As you begin to make your way up the twisting driveway, passing through the overgrown and sprawling garden on either side, you all become aware of a haze of restlessness and oppression, a touch of the unreal and the grotesque, as if some vital element of perspective or chiaroscuro were awry. It is too much like the landscape of Salvador Rosa, too much like some forbidden woodcut in a tale of terror. You glance around furtively and see, to your surprise and even amazement, the presence of plants rarely seen in this part of the world. Tall willows entwine their long, hair-like limbs, and you are sure that the bright splashes of blood red, ochre and purple belong to orchids growing amongst the tangle. There is too much silence in the dim alleyway between the trees, the floor too soft below the wheels of your car, with dank moss and mattings of decay that normally takes years to build up. There is an oozing miasma that wafts over to the driveway, heavy, and even in the car, a bit treacly and sweet. It takes a good 15 minutes to drive through, and I'd like you to do a couple of things. So first of all, can you make me spot hidden rolls?
He must have paid extra to get treacle mist installed.
I pass.
Oh, Jesus.
There are...
spot hidden.
97 against 50.
Okay, anyone who passes, you see a number of different pathways kind of leading off the driveway, including one that seems to lead to maybe a shed or a hut. It's difficult to say as you kind of your car slides by. Secondly, I'd like... Spencer, can you make me a Cthulhu Mythos roll?
That's the only person who has experienced Cthulhu Mythos, for any new listeners.
I fail.
Okay.
78 versus 19.
You do notice a complete absence of all animal sound. Not a bird or an insect. Nothing seems to penetrate the darkness of this kind of sprawling foliage and decay.
Maybe we should check out that shed over there, as, I mean, if we're going to be exploring this house unwanted, maybe we should have something to defend ourselves with the whole trespassers getting shot in the area.
Are you?
That's in character, I just forgot my voice.
Have you stopped the car and you carried on going?
Oh, well, I'm saying this as we're driving by, pointing it out, because I got a 16 on my spot hidden, so I've seen it. So everyone in the car is aware of this now. Basically.
So you're pointing out the dark area saying we should go there, is it?
Well, yeah, look at that shit. We should get weapons, is what I basically said.
Well, I assume after having robbed the local sheriff's office of all its armament that we're all packing.
That should have been something we brought up in the recap, so I remembered. I have a gun. Let's not go to that really scary place between the woods. Yeah. That was terrible on my part. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, pull up the rules for a... 30-06 and a shotgun. I may have linked them into the chat here from last
time.
Okay,
while you're doing that, you approach the house. The house is silent, shuttered, brooding, cobwebbed by ivy, partially masked by trees and caressed by the wind. It seems to be cracked with bits of the kind of ornate plasterwork and wood falling off the outside. Although it seems to be built well and very expensively, this two-floored mansion, there's something about it. It seems slightly crooked, as if leaning to one side, although when you look at it kind of closer as your car pulls up, it does seem to be not nearly as odd looking as you'd previously thought. Maybe it was a trick of the light. One thing you do notice is the entire house seems slick and wet, as if some strange mould is growing over part of the outside.
What, like it's been raining recently?
Exactly, or? Like it's been raining recently, which it hasn't.
Huh. Seems odd. Maybe this place has got a water leak or something, or maybe there's some rising damp going on.
I was going to say, yeah, I got a cousin that could fix this up perfect. Give you a good discount, too. Just don't ask where the materials came from.
Can I go over and look at this? Basically, just check out the miasma and the damp and kind of moss to see if I know anything from my natural world. I have a 40 from my studies.
So, just over in the sort of the garden with its the sort of swampy area of so just near the house.
So basically, you're saying the whole grounds basically got this miasma that's kind of a sweet tasting, smelling, treacly thing. So just basically go over to the house, check out this slimy moss and kind of the miasma, and just kind of the whole area to see, like, what the fuck is this? Are we on some sort of swamp, or do I not know what it is? I got 65 versus 40, which is not good.
There are a number of extremely rare plants, which are definitely not native to this side of the world, kind of growing amongst the sort of green vines and trees and plants, and maybe much of the smell's coming from them. The smell is definitely stronger once you approach the trees.
Okay, this is weird. I have some studies, guys, in plants and stuff, and I don't recognize these plants. They seem to be foreign or exotic. There seems to be this mist coming from those trees over there. Perhaps the German has seen these in his home country?
Nein, never.
You do notice there is a path leading from almost where you're standing now, going through what seems to be like an ornate garden, sort of with built-up sort of statues and arches and things like that, possibly heading in the direction of the shed you spotted earlier.
So we're going to check the grounds before we check the house. I mean, there's a lot of grounds.
This is my first time doing this, so is that normally what you would do? Check the grounds before the house, or the house before the grounds? I don't understand.
Well, first things first, knock and see if anyone's home.
Ah, this is an excellent idea. And I walk over.
Okay, there appears to be an area where maybe a knocker used to be attached. Like there's an area of faded wood, and there's quite clearly two screws that have been bent as if the knocker was actually ripped off the door. Can you give me a spot hidden as you approach, sort of walk up the steps towards this fine oak door?
100% it's a mimic.
Absolute fail. Pass. I rolled a 95 out of 25.
Who said pass, sorry?
I did.
Lying amongst the sort of flower beds just next to the door is an ornate knocker, which seems to have a strange statue-like look to it. If anyone has anthropology or occult, you can give me a roll.
Cool. So we've all seen this, have we?
I'm kind of imagining maybe Spencer fished it out, or...
Okay. I used to know a guy once who was good with occult stuff.
Then he lost an arm and died. I got 58 versus 25 on my occult roll. Owen loves Call of Cthulhu because he never passes.
You think that maybe the design is South American in origin?
Well, I think you'll find that's South American in origin, guys. I'm going to be that guy. I was going to be an absolute asshole to talk about anything. Look at this sweet Cuban woodwork on the door.
The sweet Cuban
Central
woodwork.
That's
the point.
Yeah. The knocker is different to the door, Joe. Clearly you haven't studied like I have.
And as we know, knockers are different all the world over.
Yeah, I'm more of a knocker guy than a wood guy.
When you do knock on the door itself, though, you hear like a shuffle inside and then silence.
Well, it seems like this might be a bit more trouble than we expected. At which point, my left hand goes into my pocket and it comes out, and I've got this quite sort of ornate knuckle duster on my hands, and that hand goes in the pocket. The other, my right hand goes into my holster, pulls out my this huge 45 caliber pistol. I knock out the chamber, spin it, knock it back in, and that goes in my other pocket. Right, are we ready for a friendly conversation here?
Who has the keys to the house? You were given by the Dodge brothers the front door and the back door key.
And probably the front
locked door.
You've
got the keys, don't you?
Yeah, I put my hand into the pocket and go and put the key in the door.
If you had the key, hey, Spence, just maybe the lock didn't need to be broken.
Yeah, Spence, is there a key on that looks like it comes from a padlock?
I check it. No, it doesn't appear to be. There was only two keys on there, and I assume that's for the house itself. Whatever, it's done now. And I just put the key in the door and start turning the key.
Okay, the lock is extremely well-made and heavy, and the probably oiled and well-looked after, actually, and the key turns easily. However, when you turn the handle and push against the door, it doesn't open. And you hear another kind of movement from inside the house.
Huh. Thing must be bolted from inside. Odd.
Yeah, step aside, you weakling. I sort of turn the handle and give it a good shoulder.
You fly into the house as if it opened really, really easily. The inside is dark and damp. And you kind of stumble in, and you are immediately hit by a shower of damp plaster falling from the ceiling above.
This guy really needs to talk to my cousin. Start brushing it out of my hair and everything.
Hey, that's a good look for you, Anders.
The house opens up in front of you. Immediately there's a door on your right. Heart maybe a few inches open. And maybe leading into a cloak room, and it's maybe from in there that you'd heard the sounds, although you're not entirely sure.
What's the lighting situation?
The only light is coming from the doorway. You do see a number of like light fixtures on the wall, but they look pretty old, probably gas.
Spencer, are you sure we're okay to be here? Have you got permission? I mean, this seems wrong.
Can you give me an idea roll, please? Anyone who has met the Dodge brothers, can you give me an idea roll?
Oh, no, we didn't.
That's just an intelligence check, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Against 60, I roll a 99. This is kismet for last week's amazing roll.
You're taking shit on someone.
And I roll 80 out of 50, so I'm not much better.
No help from me, guys. Not with data.
I call out into the house from the room where I hear the shuffling and stuff. Like, this is the office of Spencer Randall, PI. We're here to investigate. Hello?
Spencer. Spencer, are you sure that's a good idea?
Hey,
shouting into this place does not seem...
We've
good.
Been asked to check out this place.
Your voice within the house seems muted and muffled, and seems to carry not very far at all. The motes of dust spinning around you kind of give the whole area a claustrophobic feel, but there is no answer.
Maybe we should go check. Maybe it's just raccoons or something. I mean, it's a pretty old place. It's falling apart. Maybe some just animals have gotten in here if he's been missing for weeks.
I'm going to pull out my flashlight, for one thing.
I call once. No one answers, then I can't be blamed for what happens next. And I reach into my jacket and pull out my revolver.
I guess, I'm going to edge to just head towards that room, just searching, kind of nonchalantly, shining my flashlight about.
So as you open the double doors, the house opens up in front of you, but to your right there's this door that's slightly open, probably a cloakroom. It's only open a few inches, so you can't see inside as yet.
Open the door.
Yeah, just give it a little push with my foot.
the door at first doesn't open at all, then seems to slide on oiled hinges and fly open, revealing a huge, dark figure, axe in hand. Spencer, can you give me a sanity roll before you realise it's just a huge overcoat?
For fuck's sake.
Is there actually an axe there, or is he just losing his mind?
No, it's just not, you know, maybe talk of axes and murders and okay. things like that. It's got, and remember, Spencer is on hardly any sanity.
He's already got a scroll loose, let's face it.
91 out of 25.
Okay, can you lose one sanity?
Does he have to do intelligence, no?
Okay. No, that's it. That's if you go lose five sanity or a fifth of your sanity, which is, in Spencer's case, the same thing.
as I've done.
I'm gonna say, so basically, if you fail a sanity roll, the keeper can make you take one action and kind of almost chooses the action. And for this case, I'm going to have you kind of yelp and fall back over yourself and land on the floor amid the kind of dust and rubble from the ceiling.
I whisper to Sylvester, I suddenly don't feel as safe as I did 2 minutes ago.
I completely understand. I'm not sure what is happening here.
Can I
hug my gun a bit closer?
Courage the Cowardly Lion here jumped at a coat. That's what's happening. Get up, Spencer. I know you're not a real cop, but please.
I'm going to walk past Spencer and kind of look through the clothes to see, is it all just like one man's clothes? Is there evidence of a second person living here? Is there women's clothes in there, if possible?
The cloakroom itself, it's quite big, actually. Maybe about 8 foot long, 6 foot wide. There's a number of racks containing various coats, including what seems to be an explorer's outfit, various boots, and it's not just one person. You think maybe there's evidence of perhaps a gardener, perhaps a few servants. Quite a few pieces of apparel in this room.
Dibs on the explorer outfit if I survive this thing, lads.
Do you guys want to explore the house? Do you want to do the gardens, or do you want to kind of split up? Would be a good idea. I'd say it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Let's all divide up and walk around in the creepy haunted area.
We should divide up
separately.
Into two groups.
Let's roleplay this out. It seems like there's some menial workers' clothes here. Maybe some gardeners or servants. Maybe perhaps someone should come with me and check the gardeners up we saw on the way in. Perhaps there's a groundskeeper who tends the area. The flowers seem to be well kept and the trees well maintained. Perhaps he's still working here, employed while Mr. Cornwaith is away.
You might have some information on the our missing millionaire.
I will attempt to find this gardener. Who would like to accompany me?
I'm already hitting up towards the door with my comments.
I was going to say, if we're splitting the party, I'm definitely, as long as I'm with Daphne, I don't care.
Daphne? Wait, who is Daphne? She wasn't Jinkies, was she?
No, never mind.
Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Scooby-Doo
so
reference.
So is mine. Jinkies is also a Scooby-Doo reference. I just don't know which is which.
Jinkies, yeah, that's valid. Okay, Spence and I'll check the house while you go back outside.
Okay. Check the grounds or something.
Yeah. So we bum off around the corner towards this greenkeeper's hut or whatever the crack it is.
Normally, I'd say, look at the amateurs scared of an empty house, but with you jumping at coats, hey.
Yeah, next door, you're okay. Opening it.
I think we'll continue with Spencer and Finn, or Finanders, exploring the house. You've just come out of your cloakroom. Ahead is a wide hallway and a staircase leading up into darkness. Above the staircase, you can see a balcony, for the corridor on the upper floor, which kind of looks down on the hallway. The corridors go left and right.
So I walk forward into the hallway that's you know, we've just come through, and there's the big ornate staircase straight in front, and the hallway that slightly bears round to the left and further down into the darkness. I lean over to Anders and say, look, buddy, we should probably stick together on this. I don't know what's in here, and I definitely heard something shuffling around in here earlier. I need you to have my back.
Hey, that's what you pay the big bucks for. Shall we clear the downstairs before moving up?
Yeah, sounds like a reasonable idea.
All right.
Okay, your feet, as they kind of walk across the floorboards, make no creak and no sigh, as if the floors themselves, rather than being made of wood, were made out of concrete.
Do they echo at all?
Only mutedly within the kind of dusty confines of the house. There's also a strange smell, and you notice there is substantial water damage throughout. Mould growing, sort of dark black mould growing on the walls all around
you. Like a damp smell.
Really damp, yeah. And you notice that quite a lot of it seems kind of slimy.
Hey, Spencer, how long has this Quothwaite been gone?
A few months or something. Wouldn't have thought it'd been that long.
2 weeks.
Maybe even 2 weeks. Don't!
This kind of damage does not take... It takes a lot longer than 2 weeks, and this is not fit for human habitation. I mean, if I was to call my buddies down at zoning, God, this place would be condemned in a heartbeat.
What do you complain about? This place is running water, at least.
Hey, I got running water. Anyway.
So, I'm going to move...
Something does not strike me as right about this place.
Move off to the hallway, to the left, and look around. It seems like there's three doors here, is that right?
So, there's a door that seems to be half open to the... on your map, it'd be the south. It seems to be a library. To the north, the door is wide open again, and it seems to be leading through to some sort of parlour, or, you know, sort of room for entertaining. Fine chairs can be seen within, maybe a table and what looks to be a liquor cabinet.
Right, let's check this library first. So I walk into the library.
Just glancing across the titles, you see books on exploring, archaeology, history, anthropology, and much more. You do notice there are many, many gaps on the shelves, though. Can you guys give me a library use roll?
Oh man, I was the wrong person to leave the house. Oh. My 70 plus library use.
I get a 34 gets 20.
Ooh, I rolled 58 out of 56.
Yeah, you're not entirely sure what the gaps represent, but it does look like a good proportion, maybe even up to a third or half the library has been removed.
Hey, Spence, you think this could be all the books that he donated? Looks like he ransacked his own library.
No, why would he do that? It makes no sense.
Yeah. What's left? Because we saw the books that he left at the gave the library. It's a bunch of anthropological stuff and, you know, big brain crap.
Can I have a quick browse through the titles of the books on the shelf?
Yeah, there's nothing really you recognise. They all seem to be pretty academic.
About?
Not like books with, you know, pentagrams on the spine.
As I've said, there's books on sort of exploring, maybe sort of travelogues. There's archaeological studies all over the world, although you notice there doesn't seem to be any about South America at all, which does strike you as odd.
Well, I guess he's just come back from there, so... He may have been using them recently.
I was going to say, we found stuff about South America in the library, didn't we?
Yeah, he'd donated hundreds and hundreds of books from South America. So maybe dozens and dozens of books about South America to the local library.
Hey, Spencer, why do you think this guy, just after he got back from South America, gave away all his books on South America? I mean, that was basically all that was at the library. And now, nothing here.
If he was researching this, I would think he would want to keep his research. It doesn't make any sense.
So, we're pattering around the corner, off down the path between the trees, is it, to this shed?
Yeah, the path is immensely overgrown. If there is a gardener, he has not been taking care of this for some time, and judging by the extent of the growth, a long time indeed. And as you turn a corner, I need... I need Sylvester, can you make me a dex roll?
Okay.
As a route which was almost definitely not there a moment ago wraps around your leg and sends you flying towards the mud.
Ooh, around his leg. Do I see this? Can I see if I see this?
Yeah. Basically, you see Sylvester trip on an exposed root and fall headfirst into the boggy
The second one is the correct one. The first one was wrong.
No, 59
versus 60, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 59. So you managed to catch yourself maybe on a tree and keep yourself from falling into the black mud beneath your feet. But you are sure that the branch that tripped you up wasn't there a moment ago. And glancing back, you're actually not entirely sure what did trip you.
Tobias, I have to tell you something. This is really unusual. I am very confident that branch was not there the moment we walked over.
You're definitely very confident at all times, but you're also a bit crazy. I didn't see any branches. You just are a klutz, as the great Germans invented the words. You're just clumsy, my friend. As we're walking along, can I basically, because I obviously didn't recognize a lot of plants around the door, can I be checking every plant, these trees where the mist seems to be rising from, and just basically be checking out anything I can, basically natural world roll, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. Give me a natural world roll.
Wood.
You still looking for your goat man, Mr. Higginbottom?
I guess this mist is fascinating. It could possibly have magical properties like many myths. Like the Great Fog of London I've heard so much about.
You realize your credibility drops the more you talk about this goat man business, yes?
I like moving root men. I'm the crazy guy.
I'm
so
telling you I saw
your
it.
Natural world.
38 versus 40.
Okay, many of the trees, particularly the older ones, are natural to New England and aren't unusual at all. What is unusual is the vines and the plants growing round and amongst them. The orchids particularly should not be growing in this area, and certainly not outside, and certainly not flourishing. And you see many varieties and many strange and unusual colours, much larger than anything you've seen in those kind of greenhouses and cared gardens in more expensive areas of Boston. As you turn the corner, you see the path is blocked by a large rotting log. Say that fast three times. A large rotting log covered in large fungus. Fungi.
It would be fungus if there's one big patch. But I'm going to pick one of the orchids and stick it into my pocket of my tweed jacket and just stroll on into this log.
It's probably about 6 foot high, wet, damp, and surrounded by a pool of sickening sort of black mud. And the sweet smell is really, really, the treacly sweet smell is really evident around here. It's completely blocking your way.
Okay, question. I don't know if there's a role for it, but Professor of mythology and archaeology and stuff, I assume I'd know what rotting bodies smell like, and they tend to have a sweet smell. Can I see if that's what I'm smelling? I don't know if there's a role for that.
What have you got as a reasonable role? I mean, medicine, definitely.
Medicine, I guess, yeah, probably first aid. First aid is way too late. probably is medicine, I guess, isn't it? Which is 1%. Natural or archaeology,
I mean,
first aid, you would know the smell of infection, which is essentially rotting flesh. So, corruption.
I would, if you can give it, like, if there's a part of your backstory that's meant you've come across a body,
okay,
a rotten body, then I would give you a snow roll.
I speak Sumerian, Arabic, ancient Greek, so I've done a lot of study of mythology, and there's been various cadavers and mummified corpses in the university. That we've opened up, and
but that certainly wasn't a goat man.
That would be medicine, but you can either
be history.
No, but it could be natural world.
Natural world.
I think this may go under your studies of your kind of Renaissance studies, perhaps. You know, back then there were a lot of people who wouldn't study one subject but study many. I think you can have it on natural world.
My natural world roll. I got 77 versus 40. There could be a dead body in the deer, I don't know.
You're not sure, maybe. I mean, the thing that kind of occurs to you is if there was a dead body, you've walked a good long way. You've been walking for a few minutes, and the smell is pervades the entire area. So it wouldn't be one body, it would be hundreds.
Clearly you've never murdered a man like me, Joe.
spread his limbs over the whole garden. Yeah, I mean, that would work, maybe.
Okay, I'm gonna try and hop this log, as my characters tend to do.
Can you give me a dex roll, please?
I can, but my screen...
Or a jump roll, if such a thing exists.
There is. I was happier with a dex roll.
Or a climb roll? Like, how are you going to get across? Let's use these skills.
I'm definitely going to put one hand confidently on this slippy moss and, like, vault my two legs over, which I assume is a jump roll.
That, yeah, let's do this as a jump roll.
I have not looked at what my skills are for jump. Jump is 20%, thank God. Climb is 20%, so yeah, this would work either way. So versus 20, I got a 16! I landed! We're perfect 10 out of 10!
So, not only do you nimbly jump over the log, but you actually manage to avoid the worst of the puddles, only getting a bit on the hem of your trousers, and ahead of you, you see the sinister shed.
As I land, I turn to the little orchid in my collar pocket and just smell it confidently and stroll on.
And I'm like, I'm on the other side, because I'm going to make the same jump. I'm going to try and follow behind.
This could be amazing.
So I have to do a jump roll, is it?
Yes, you do. If you want to do it the same way.
If
you drown in a puddle.
Colossal fail. I rolled a 76 out of a 20.
Okay, so as you're jumping, your toe catches the top of the log and you feel yourself falling headfirst towards the swampy puddle on the other side. Would you like to push the roll? So, for those who haven't played Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition, if you fail a roll, you are allowed to push it, which means you get a re-roll. You have to describe how you're pushing it, how you're going to try and do it. But if you fail, then something pretty terrible happens.
So I'm not going to push that?
If you drown in a puddle of mud, please play blurry, but puddle of mud.
Okay, yeah. You land pretty much face first in this mire of blackness on the other side. And push yourself up from the water to see your erstwhile companion heading towards the sinister shed. Tobias Higginbottom, you hear a splash from behind you.
I spin around and I see... I assume he's just basically... So he's lying face first, sitting down. How is he in the puddle?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
What? Oh, he's definitely face first, like, just proper, like... almost cartoon flat, just in mud up to like his ear.
And I'm thrashing around in the mud because I'm angry. I've lost my temper and I'm saying, this bloody fucking forest has something out for me, I swear. And I'm like trying to struggle to get out, but I keep falling back in. And I'm like,
Sylvester, careful, the moving route's gonna get you. Let's see how he reacts to that.
You and your bloody fucking shit. I'm gonna be like gesturing for you to like help me, and then I'm just gonna be like, help me!
I'll walk over and pull him out.
I think this is a good point to change back to the house.
Thank Jesus.
I can just imagine copious amounts of Shazen! Shazen! 99999!
Nine, pick!
For pistick to Arschloch!
Okay, guys. Where do you want to explore next? So you've kind of been around the library. Ahead, you've seen a bit of a parlour. The main thing of interest in there is this alcohol cap. Where do you want to go now?
So there seems to be another door in this in that library, was there?
Yeah, so it would lead into the parlour. So if you want to stroll on through, your footsteps are wet as well. No creaking at all. Considering this is bare floorboards, it does seem very, very unusual that your feet are making such little sound upon them. Particularly how, with every step, you know, kind of plaster falls off the walls and on the ceiling around you. Right. When you enter the parlour, can you just give me a spot check, please, Spencer? Spot hidden.
Spot hidden, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, just scrape by.
Oh, hard success.
You're nice. Such bullshit.
Go, Anders.
22 out of 50.
Okay, Spencer, you notice on the table, facing the currently closed and shuttered windows, is a bourbon in a glass, half drunk. Finn Anders, you notice that next to the bourbon is a half-smoked cigarette in a probably pushed out. So it has been put out in an ashtray, kind of like a black cheroot.
Okay. Can I smell the cigarette and taste the whiskey?
The whiskey is brackish. As if some, there's kind of like, even as you kind of bring it to look into it to drink, there's like a film of not just dust, but something oily. Like it kind
okay,
of.
I'm not gonna.
You know how you get those multicolors of like an oil spill.
Yeah.
The cigarette is damp. It's old. Smells more like ash okay. than it does of the tobacco.
Because they go rotten after a little while, and there's a particular smell to a rotten cigar.
You can
definitely tell by the number of days it's been there.
There's no.
Give me a knowledge tobacco roll.
There's not.
It's been there a couple of weeks.
Okay. With the plaster that's falling down all over the place, can I sort of have a look at the walls to see, you know, because plaster doesn't just fall. Usually, even when it's rotten through, it has to be knocked or bumped or
shaken. Yeah, so, okay, well, as you, like, look a bit closer at the wall, have you seen the film The Frighteners?
No.
There's a
that
thing
sounds
where
like a terrible B-movie, is it?
No, it's a bit of Bale, it's so good. But there's a bit where the kind of plaster seems to, like, bulge as something crawls sort of under the wallpaper. It's a bit like that, like the plaster, maybe a trick of the light, the way that your light, your torch goes across the walls, that it seems to bulge out and bulge back in again, and then your sort of plaster dust falls amongst you.
Okay, none of us have had anything to drink today. I'm pretty sure I know what I saw. Did you see that, Anders?
Yeah, I think I saw it. I don't know what I saw, but I saw something.
Tell me you just saw the wall bulging.
At the moment,
it's like the biggest rats I ever heard of inside the walls.
At that moment, there's a crash from upstairs of broken pottery. Almost directly above you.
Right, draw the pistol.
Mine's already been drawn. I thought yours was as well.
It was in my pocket, but yeah. I wasn't just happy to see you.
So, okay, back out into the hallway then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm rushing upstairs to hear the sound of the crash. Spencer, follow me!
Okay, you reach the top of the stairs. The stairs creak ominously, and so do the floorboards in the landing upstairs. The landing curls round the hallway above with a balcony looking down upon it. To your right, I'll just ping for you. There's a door half open, and it looks to be leading into the master bedroom. The crash came from the other side of the balcony, the other side of the house. A door which is firmly closed over here.
Guess head towards the sound of the crash.
Yeah, pistols drawn, slowly sort of walking, creeping up to the sound of the noise.
Do I notice anything now that all of a sudden the floors are creaking? Do I notice anything about the floors that it's different?
Yeah, so the floorboards are loose. It's difficult to say because the whole house does seem that it should be well made. It's expensive. The furnishings themselves are extremely expensive. The wood's good, but with every step it kind of creaks and moves under you, just as if the whole house has been slightly kind of off tilt, crooked as it were.
Hence the cracked and crooked mats.
It's funny because it's in the title, I get it.
As you walk round the hallway, looking down on the hall, looking down on the over the balcony to your left, you find that one of the floorboards actually cracks under your feet, Spencer. And I need you to give me a dex save.
Why me? For fuck's sake!
It broke under your.
Anders wastes twice the fucking amount I do. Fucking hell.
Yeah, but he's not nuts and walking on broken floorboards.
Yeah, I'm quite small.
Dex roll, was it?
Spencer is back on form.
Okay, boom.
Okay, with a 5.
He rolled a 5 against
extreme
70.
Extreme success. The floorboard cracks underneath you, and you could have imagined not only your foot falling through, but maybe tipping you over the balcony itself. You nimbly dodge it and arrive outside a room in the corner of the house, which has an ornate brass plaque saying Trophy Room. There is another crash from within as something falls and pottery cracks from inside.
Hey, Anders, on 3, we're going to rush this room.
Grandmaster, Grandmaster, are you in there?
Yes, I'll be out in a minute.
Grandmaster, I just need to tell you that the How We Roll crew will be back next week.
How did you find that out?
Sire, it's on their website, howwerollpodcast.com, along with links to Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, and Twitch.
What about iTunes reviews?
I'm afraid there hasn't been any this week.
Hasn't been any?
No, sire. But I will tell the listeners that iTunes reviews and supporting us on Patreon is the best way to support the show.
Can you hear something?
Yes, sire. It's the halfling party from Battle Bards.
Battle Bards?
Yes. They make premium sound effects and music that anyone can buy for only a few dollars.
Is that how We Roll make their podcast sound so awesome?
Yes, sire.
Anything else?
Can I use the toilet when you're done?